Daniel's going to come and he's going to share the word of God with us. I try and allow a bit of time at the end, Daniel, for questions. Is that okay? We'll try and take some time for that. So if you had questions this morning and they came to mind this afternoon or something, just jot them down so that you can ask Daniel at the end. God bless you, brother. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, five steps of the way of salvation that we present in the way that we presented the gospel to the people in Argentina. As I mentioned before, a high population of Roman Catholic background. So how we approach them? Remember, even the Pope now is Argentinian born. So we need to be careful because the first few 2-3 months was a boom, you know, that the Argentina is going to change, prosperity it will come, everything will happen to Argentina because then we have, you know, the Pope who is from Argentina, you know, and the people really, even some evangelicals, they will say so about Papa Francisco, you know. So we'll say, well, hold on, you know, slowly. Things come down and people start to realize, you know, that nothing getting better in Argentina, things getting worse, so they really need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, not to the Roman Catholic Church, not to the Pope, you know. He's a good man, he got a good principle, but still is a Roman Catholic, who I believe Papa Francisco needs salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ as well, you know. So, if I had the opportunity, you know, one day to write to him, I'm going to tell it, you know, about these five ways of salvation, and I'm going to tell it which step he still needs to be done, alright? He still didn't do for sure the number four steps. That's what I want to make more stress tonight. Well, first, thank you very much for, not only for this car, but thank you very much for the cars that you send to me, to Nelly, through all these years, you know. And we receive it, okay? And forgive me, sometimes I forgot to say thank you, but I won't forget today, so thank you very much for the card. I'm going to read it. And thank you very much for all the things, you know. I'm going to read it later on during the week. Love what you sung. What you sang this tonight. One of the hymns, I love what it says here. Use my life to win the loss. That's excellent. That is our reality. But let me to tell you, that is a reality not only for pastors and missionaries, okay? Uh-oh. I didn't hear any amen, you know? Use my life to win the loss. That must become a reality for everybody. Okay? For everyone. We have the responsibility winning the loss in Buenos Aires. But you have the responsibility to win the loss here in your Jerusalem and Samaria and Judea, you know, and all the other beautiful places around here. This is something which is good what you just expressed in the hymn. And the other one is, I love to tell the story. And my favorite verse is the one that says, for some have never heard. I don't know about you, but it happened to me in my life twice. One in Mexico and another one in Argentina. A person who had never, ever listened to the gospel. A person who had never, ever listened about salvation. And that was a lady with 2 or 3 children, in Mexico. We went to Mexico with an American church from California. We crossed the border, and there was a group of young people singing in Spanish, a cantata. But they didn't speak Spanish. They only know how to sing in Spanish. And I was the official interpreter. And we went to Mexico, and we have a lovely 10 days in Mexico, preaching the gospel, helping the Bible college over there, the Baptist college over there. And that, it was amazing to me. What experience. Approach a young woman with children. And when we start knocking doors at the very small and few houses of that place with some other students from the Bible college. And when I approached to this lady, and she said, no, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know. I never listened nothing about this. Nobody come to me before to tell me this story. And in Argentina, something very similar too. Is that happened to you? Did that happen? Could you raise your hand and tell me? Yes, yes. Well, that's good. You're going to be able to share, you know. It's an experience that your heart start pumping fast, you know. And really say, but that's true. It could be possible. Well, that is good because that gives you energy what to do next, you know. Keeping searching for people that may never, ever, never heard about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is good, you know. And thank you very much again for the car. Okay, we go now to step number one. And they are all very well-known verses. Very easy, very familiar verses. Oh, I'm sorry. Number one first. And that from Romans 3:23. And you know the verse, you know what it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But emphasis is being made in I have sinned. Remember that. Why are we making the emphasis in I have sinned? Because after all, the Bible says, for all have sinned. And that's what most of Roman Catholics say. We are all sinners. Okay? That's what the Roman Catholics say. We are all sinners. Okay? And they are behind that we are all sinners. But when it's come to the point, they have to declare, I have sinned. That's a different story. So this is the step number one that we presented to the Argentinians. Then it comes step number two. Recognize that God loves me. And again, the emphasis is that Almighty God loves me. According to John 3:16. Alright? Okay. One of the children here, closing your eyes. Who want to stand up? You. Yeah? Yes. Stand up. Close your eyes. And you tell everybody John 3:16. Don't look at up there, alright? Tell them John 3:16. Amen. Well, you know, Roman Catholics, they know that too, you know. And they will agree with you. They will agree that we are all sinners. They will agree that God loves us. Okay? So it will be no confrontation. I'm happy. They will be happy. But now we have to go to the next step. They need to know more about the gospel of salvation. And then, step number three is that Christ died for me. But again, according to Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his on love toward us. And he's talking about us, not only me. In that we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What happened here? Again. They agree. They agree with you. They agree with the Bible. They agree with the scriptures. They agree with the gospel message that, number one, we are all sinners. They agree that God loves us. And they will agree, or they do agree, that Christ died for our sins. So what happened? That first three steps, they will agree and they will say, oh, we believe the same. Many, many Christians, that's what they say to me. Well, we believe the same. We believe in the same God. We have the same, you know, we believe in the Lord Jesus. We are all sinners. So we believe the same. What's the difference? Okay, that is where the difference starts. That is where the difference starts. I receive Jesus. That means, step number one is here, then step number two, and then they go to step number three, and they say, okay, that's the same. We agree, alright, we believe the same. Why do I need to go on step number four? And this is where we start sharing the gospel with them. This is the point where we start to explain the gospel to them. But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe on his name. Now, we're going to start explaining on this step number four, what it means receive. According to the Greek word in there means accept. Receive, it means to accept that the Lord, what he has done for me, about his sacrifice, the shedding of the blood for our sin, and obtain. In one word, the Greek word is so rich that the meaning is to accept and to obtain. What we accept when we receive Jesus as our personal Savior, and what we obtain when we receive Jesus. And then it says become. And look what it means. Become is come into being. What it means become is to be assembled, be fulfilled, but be assembled. This is so important. We have been assembled when we received the Lord Jesus. We have been assembled as a son or daughter of Almighty God. And why the Roman Catholic Church, they do not have the faith that we have? What is the difference? The difference is that if they do not receive the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior, they don't give that step number four. That step number four is so important because that's the one that send, or you are able to give the step number five, which you reach eternity. And this is where we spend more time with them. This is where we explain that to reach step number 5, the Bible gives assurance to us that these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the critical part when we start to explain to a Roman Catholic that unless he really stepped on that number 4 decision, that receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, he won't reach eternity. Now the things start to get more, you know, not controversial, not confrontation, but disagreement. So we have to tell them why not. Why the Bible is telling you, why the Bible is saying about that. And the questions arise, well, why are we presenting the gospel message in this way? Okay, we don't want a confrontation. Don't go and telling a Roman Catholic about all the bad things they believe. Don't go to a Roman Catholic about the Virgin Mary, about the Pope, about the purgatory, about all the other things, you know. No. You stick with these steps. And then we must explain it, why are we presenting the gospel message in this way. First, because salvation is a personal relationship with God. This is why I say, I have seen, God loves me, Christ died for me, I receive Jesus. And that's what salvation is. It's a personal relationship with God. They need to know that to obtain this great salvation from God, I must repent, confess my sins, I must believe and receive Jesus as my Savior. And I was sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. It can't be more personal than that, with the Holy Spirit dwelling on us. Not only with us, in us. That's the personal, the very personal relationship that they don't have. They don't have that personal relationship. The second point is, why are we presenting the gospel message in this way? Because salvation is a public relationship with God. People need to know that I have obtained this great salvation from God. That all my sins were forgiven when I received Jesus as my Savior by faith alone. And that's a point where we have to talk with them. I receive Jesus as my Savior by faith alone. No good works, you know. Because they come up in this stage, they come up with a good work. What about my good works, you know? By faith alone. And now I must witness what the Lord has done for me at the cross of Calvary. They must understand there is a personal relationship, but also they must understand that we have that kind of public relationship. But now, this is the most important, that no Catholic, even God, they don't have this. They don't have. And again, why are we presenting the gospel message in this way? Because salvation is a permanent relationship with God. People need to know that I believe on the preservation of the saints. Amen? That's what we believe. On the preservation of the saints. No one Catholic, they have this. They may be there, they join some other churches and some evangelical, and they have meetings together, And they also, they're talking about the second experience, you know, the grace of God. They are charismatic. They are speaking in tongues as well, you know. But they don't believe. They can't believe on the preservation of the saints because they have to go by the doctrines of the church. At the doctrine of the Catholic Church, of course, they cannot give you that preservation of the saint. That, what is the preservation of that permanent relationship with God is that blessed assurance of this great salvation from God. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the family of God, household of God. When that happened, on the step number 4, when I received Jesus as my personal Savior. And this is the moment we must tell them that. Unless they got that, they won't reach the step number 5, which means eternal life. Personal relationship with God, we must tell them that personal relationship with God overcomes tradition. A personal relationship with the Lord overcomes religion. It will overcome where the country where you had born, language, culture, people. I'm talking to some people in Argentina as well, Jew people. It's the third largest community of Jewish people in Argentina, the third one in the world. So the Jews, they believe they have a personal relationship with the Lord because in the country they have born or because they are a special people. We know that. But Catholics, they believe the same. Catholics, they believe because they are a Roman Catholics, you know. And we must explain that personal relationship overcome that. Then we must tell them that public relationship with God, that we believe that the world is closed, is nigh. So close is in the mouth and in the heart. And that is the word of faith that we preach. Because some people, they say, why are you coming to visiting me? Why are you so interested, you know, in visiting me and talk to me about the gospel? You know, why you do all this effort? Why? Some people, they believe that Nelly and I, we are crazy. So, you have your family in Argentina. You live in Argentina. You have your family in Australia. You live in Australia for so many years. And you come to Argentina to preach the gospel to me, it's like, you are crazy, you must be crazy. Say, well, believe me, maybe I'm crazy for you. Okay? But this is what I really believe. I believe I must preach the word of faith to you because this is what the Lord has called me to do, to preach in you the gospel of salvation. And that's the kind of public relationship that we have with God. And they look at us, they look to us and they say, well, this is strange. I don't understand. And then again, that permanent relationship with God, it means the blessed assurance of this great salvation from God to us, from this cosmos, into eternity. They need to know that we have that blessed assurance. Remember Neil Armstrong made history on July 20, 1969. He was the first man on the moon, walk in the moon. And he says something very important. Remember that word that he mentioned was, that is one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. What I'm praying, and I ask you to pray, is that mankind should be able to understand that they need to have that step of faith in the Lord, to have that giant leap from this cosmos into eternity. And if they don't have that step of faith in the Lord, they won't reach eternity. And really we covet your prayers for us. In that people, the Lord touch heart, that the Lord will touch lives, that they will be able to understand the gospel in the way we present it to them. We are all sinners. God love us. Christ died for us. But I need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ in order to receive all the promises, in order to have eternal life. And that's something which we approach Catholic without fighting them. We approach the Roman Catholic not confronting them, but declaring the gospel to them. And this is the way we do it in Argentina. And you want to say, wow, it will work? Yes, we pray to the Lord that it will work. And if it doesn't work, we're going to keep in preaching the gospel. The work is belong to the Lord. He will do the work. We do our part. The Lord will do the rest. Amen? I believe that. But no confrontation. After all, there are about the 70-80% of the population Roman Catholics. You can't do confrontation to 70 or 80% of the people. But we are able to tell them the gospel to that 70 or 80% in this way. Thank you. Thank you very much again for everything, really.
And Daniel sent me a copy of that. If any of you would like the outline, just send me an email and I'll send the PowerPoint onto you.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. We're glad for that to be used by anyone who could use it.
So.
Now, we'll have some questions. We'll have a hymn and then we'll pray. But let's take your questions first. I was able to ask Daniel some questions over lunch today and get a few questions in my mind cleared up, but you probably have questions too, so this is an opportunity for you to ask.
And I would appreciate it given the wife's presence with us today, and as you present that gospel presentation, I can't help but think that Argentina's many of people are not much different from Australia.
Oh, we all go to step three. And we'll acknowledge it. And Jehovah's Witness on the door yesterday. Oh. He was prepared to go that far, but they were getting tipped. They wanted to steer me away at that point. Mm. But I'm just interested to know, away from the Christian, what you and your wife are planning for your future. Are you looking at retirement? Are you looking at... I hear this morning the thought of establishment of another church. What do you see as your future in the coming term?
Okay, excuse me. I'm not going to fight. It's good, your question. Okay, no plan for retirement, for two reasons. We are passing to the Brancatellis, they coming to help to us, and we are praying to the Lord that they become missionaries as well, with biblical ministries worldwide, with a policy we have now for national co-workers. So it won't happen overnight. It will take a couple of years, 2, 3, 4 years. So we're going to work in together, giving more responsibility, you know. Now they are in charge of the church during 10 weeks. Then from then, we're going to give him more and more responsibility. And second, in December, we're going to, when we purchase the property, all right, we get a lot of funds for ourselves, people who help from Australia and America. But we get a loan, a $60,000 loan from our mission board, Biblical Ministries Worldwide. And we have to return that money. We do it on a monthly basis. And we pay, in December it's going to be 24 months, we are paying that already. But we still have another 3 years to go. We are the guarantor. ¿Dónde está Pablo? La garantía, somos la garantía.
Guarantee,
okay. For a mission board, we sign it. So for another 3 years, Nelly and I, we have to remain in Buenos Aires, okay? But it's not the only reason why we have to stay in Buenos Aires to pay back that, which of course the Lord is providing wonderful for that. But also we want the church established, well established. Maybe the Brancatellis stay in the church, Horacio stay in the church as a pastor, maybe not. Maybe they want to serve the Lord as a missionary, and they will keep in, or we, gonna try to train in somebody else to take over as a pastor, okay? And may the Brancatellis will go to another place and keep in doing the missionary work. We don't have a plan or date, retirement date today, no.
It's a Caleb. Keeps going, serving the Lord, no retirement. You might also mention that Horatio is a policeman, and how does he get his support?
Okay. Yes, Horacio is officer, which got he went to a university and everything. It's not just a normal police on the street. He got some degree. He got people under his authority, but he was involved in a couple of shootings last month. You know, very heavy shooting. He carried two guns because he's a he used one gun here, you know. Sometime he hasn't got time to go home and get trained. So he coming with a dress, guns and everything to the prayer meeting, you know. I say, Horacio, did you have time to change it? No, I was rushing, you know, and I want to come here to pray and all that. Okay, all right, amen, all right, come in, you know, and pray. But they want to serve the Lord, really. But that's his work. That's what he's doing to maintain his family, you know. His home church, Calvary Baptist Church, they're giving an offering, monthly offering. They send it into the mission field now. The mission field is in the capital city of Buenos Aires, you know, working with us, you know. And that's very, very important, you know. Yeah.
Other questions?
Are there any youth from Bolivia or Peru? The youth?
How did you come in contact with the groups of the young people from the other nation? Did they come to Argentina to study?
The youth, how do you contact them?
Okay, some of the youth that come from Peru, they came to Argentina to do some study, okay, and they ended up, they ended up that it's hard, study and work. They have to work too, okay, and that's why we have so many people from Peru, from Bolivia, okay, they come into study, yeah. They good help, but the problem is, they go back to their country sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. But that's also a blessing because you train them, send them back as missionaries.
That's it. We do. Yeah, we did.